الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب، أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان، فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. وقال الله جل وعلا: وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers, friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises are due to Allah alone, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us these moments. In the world, brothers, on a daily basis, we see that there are people who have ambitions. Some have bucket lists, that in my life I want to achieve something. And you know, as time goes, brothers, we are seeing that people are trying to achieve more and more outrageous things. So much so that a person, he chooses or he makes a choice in his life, knowing very well that the person is putting himself in harm's way. And in certain instances, brothers, a person knows that it could cost him his life. And let's just say, in the life of an unbeliever, a person has to lose his life. Then they'll have an obituary, and somebody will come and speak about what a great man he was, and he died fulfilling the passion of his life. Let's just use an example. A person who chooses, you know, to become a mountain climber. So at the end of it, they'll say that, you know, he gave his life fulfilling his passion. You know, I always remind myself, my friends, my students and so on, ask ourselves that the action that we are doing, where is the knowledge behind it? The knowledge of prophethood. That is a very big question. And is this an akhirat bearing action? At the end of this, my brothers, in the light of knowledge, in the light of prophetic knowledge, let's just say a believer give his life. My brothers, will this have any bearing in the afterlife for such a person? So, coming back to our opening statement, people have ambitions. People have goals. There can be no doubt about one thing, my brothers, that every one of us as Muslimin, we should be having this one goal, that how can I be directly connected with Allah? Directly connected with Allah. Now, brothers, we're going into Ramadan. 60 days prior to the commencement, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already preparing the minds of the ummah. Oh Allah, bless us in Rajab, bless us in Shaaban, take us into Ramadan. He gave us the example. In the first 20 days, he would apply himself. And then the last 10 days, my brothers, on an unprecedented level, he would cut himself off totally. That's why we have the concept of i'tikaf. Ibn al-Qayyim Jawzi rahimahullah said, what is i'tikaf? I'tikaf means for a person to be devoted to something. When a person is in i'tikaf, the person is now, he is standing at the door of Allah knocking. That, oh Allah, I'm asking for one thing. Ya Allah, I'm asking for one thing only. Just grant me a connection with you. So, in the times that we are living, in the time of communication, we very well understand this concept of connection. Guy online, guy is offline. Poor connection. Sometimes you can see a person, brothers, he's really frustrated. Why? Because he's got a task. He needs to do something. He needs to do it urgently. The connection is not good. Or the network is down. Could be from his side. Could be from the service provider. Whatever be it, the connection is not there. And now this guy over here is pulling his hair out. Why connection is not there? My brothers, in the life of every Muslim, every person with faith in Allah, the goal has to be to be directly connected with Allah. So already 5 minutes has passed. The ayat of the Quran which I recited, brothers, have got to do with dua. So today I only want to speak about dua, my brothers. Dua and our connection with Allah. The first thing, my brothers, before we go into, you know, the texts and so on, dua is such a beautiful institute. It is such a beautiful thing, my brothers, to be connected with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. Call out to who? To your Lord. Rabbakum. Allah says Rabb. Allah could have said Ud'ullah. Allah says your Lord. You know, that's the one who created you from inception, from nothing, from Adam. Allah who saw you through, you know, stage by stage in the womb of your mother, made your entry into the world easy. He provided for you for 2 years. And then Allah provided for you continuously. Allah says, call out to that Rabb. Rabbakum, he is your Lord. Tadarru'an, in total submission, in total humility. And khufya, call out in secrecy. Call out in secrecy. In another place, Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي. Your Lord is saying, أُدْعُونِي, call out to me. أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Whether it's a job, whether it's a marriage, whether it's child, whether it's conditions domestically, politically, or on whatever level, the solution to every problem is in whose hands? It is in the hand of Allah. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ Ud'uni, call out to me. Astajib lakum, I am the only one who can respond to you. And then see how Allah follows up. The second part of the verse says that innal ladina yastakbiruna an ibadati, the one who is too proud to ask of me, sayadkhuluna jahannam madakhirin, I'll throw him into hell in humiliation, because he doesn't see the need to ask of me. So brothers, we understand asbab means, and musabbul asbab, that Allah is provider. So the gaze is supposed to be on the musabbul asbab. But the gaze comes what? On the job, on the shop, on the degree, on the import, on the export, on the studies, on the office, on the means. We forget Allah. So Allah is saying, don't focus on that. Come back, recalibrate. You need to come back. Don't be too haughty, Don't be too proud to ask of me. Now, my brothers, let's look at a few examples. What is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The way he asked, the way he begged, the way he cried, the way he beseeched, the way he implored Allah. There's an incident which is mentioned that on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wakes up in the middle of the night. This was his way, sometimes the middle part of the night and sometimes the last part of the night. Allah give us the strength. This is the way of Prophet. The Anbiya, they used to go to sleep early at night. Sometimes they used to wake up in the middle part and sometimes the last part of the night. The nightly vigil. Allah give us strength. At least, my brothers, at minimum, we're going now to high spiritual season. Let us become strong insofar as our Fajr is concerned. That cannot happen, brothers, that you know what, I'm a believer, the sun has come up and I'm still sleeping. So anyway, higher level, my brothers, the nightly vigil. Subah Sadiq is getting late also, mashallah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wakes up during some part of the night. Then he says, "Oh Aisha, let me worship Allah." Now the narration is ajeeb. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells her in such a way as though he was taking permission from her. But what reply did she give him? She said that, "I love you. Wallahi ya Rasulullah inni la uhibbuk. I love you. But what you love, I love more. So if you want to leave my side and if you want to engage in communion with Allah, then I love that also." From there, relieves himself, performs wudu, and starts engaging in salah. He reads salah for a long time. And then, my brothers, he engages in dua. The narration mentions three levels of dua. My Nabi, your Nabi. He makes dua. She says that first he made dua and he cried so much that his entire beard was drenched. When last, my brothers, did any of us, you know, Allah give me tawfiq to shed some tears? Nabi Sassam said, the tear equal to the head of a fly will extinguish hell. He cried and cried till his beard was drenched. Then in the second level, my brothers, she says he cried till his entire thighs were wet. And on the third level, my brothers, he cried till the entire area around him was wet. Can we imagine this? You know, perhaps if I have a jug of water over here and I have to spread it around, then that will wet the entire area. But that amount of tears, dua. He cried. So anyway, she says, "O Prophet of Allah, you are the Nabi of Allah. You are masoom. Yet you go to this extent." So he says, "Why shouldn't it be? Should I also not be a grateful slave?" Allahu Akbar, abdiyat. And then he told her that Allah has revealed a passage in the Quran. "Woe be to the one who will recite it but will not ponder over it. Inna fi khalq samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari al-ayatin li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim." It's a very lengthy passage. Allah speaks about pondering over the various phenomena. Certain du'as, my brothers, which is absolutely imperative in the life of a person. Anyway, it's my brothers, it's closing verses of Surah Ali Imran. There's no time to go into the translation of the entire thing. But he says, "Woe be to the one who recites this, yet he doesn't ponder over it." On one occasion, my brothers, Nabi Sassam reads one ayat, "In tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk." That, "O Allah, the creation are yours. You are the creator and all of the creation are yours. In tu'adhibhum, if you choose to punish them, they are your slaves. It's your prerogative. But I am an embodiment of mercy. And my job is to take them to Jannah. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ أَوَ اللَّهِ if you forgive them. Ya Allah, if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He reads this one verse in dua, imploring Allah, till Bilal comes and says, O Prophet of Allah, it's time for Fajr. Is there any person who doesn't have a need? The poet says, لَا تَسْأَلْنَ بَنِي آدَمَ حَاجَتُ. Don't go and put any of your needs in front of Banu Adam. وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابُهُ لَا تُغْلَقُ. Go to that person whose doors never close. Yes, the last part, the middle part of the night, that's the best part. But any time, in fact the ulama state that the road to wilayat and friendship with Allah is so simple that in one moment drop your eyelids and say that, O Allah, I have made tawbah of my entire past. Fulfilling the conditions of tawbah, you are now the friend of Allah. You don't even need to raise your hands. Yes, facing the qibla, performing two rakats of salah, being in wudu, etc., etc. Those are all the etiquettes. Don't put any of your needs in front of the creation. وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابُهُ لَا تُغْلَقُ فَاللَّهُ يَغْضَبْ إِن تَرَكْتَ سُؤَالَهُ. Allah says, when you stop asking me, I become displeased with you. This is a hadith. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. He who doesn't ask Allah, Allah becomes displeased with him. And then the poet says, وَبَنُوا آدَمْ حِينَ يُسْأَلُ يَغْضَبُ. Banu Adam, your neighbor, your friend, your best friend, your father, your brother, ask him, he'll get fed up with you at some point. What do you think, I'm an ATM? Now, my brothers, going into high season, mashallah, we all come to the masjid. Tahajjud is there, inshallah, when we wake up for sihri, we make dua at that time. But my brothers, the time when we come to the masjid, take out time, solid time, my brothers, for dua. Leave home early. Because why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dua between adhan and iqama is readily accepted. Some narrations mention Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said very seldom are rejected. Then the duas after salah. That's why Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu said, you have a need. اِحْمَلُوا حَوَائِجَكُمْ عَلَى الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. The fard salah is here. Your du'as after the fard salah are so readily accepted that just raise your hands and make du'a to Allah, Allah will fulfill it. I'm saying this out of love, my brothers. I'm saying it with the intention of, inshallah, reform for myself. Every day we come into the masjid. Sometimes we can be in a rush. But how can a person be in a rush every day? We come, my brothers, Maghrib time, 3, 2, we're rushing out. Somebody else, he sat over here, he read Awabin, he read his night surahs, he made dua, and then when he comes out, then we're standing and talking stories. We're losing out, brothers. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked, Ayyud dua yasma? He asked Sahaba Ikram, do you know which dua is most accepted? And then he said himself, Dubura salawatil maktubat, the dua that you are going to make after the fard salah. So have yaqeen and faith. My brothers, the ulama mentioned that dua is, first thing, it is such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing. But one of the greatest benefits of dua is that a person's faith and yaqeen in Allah is strengthened. Because imagine now, after Jumu'ah Salah, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to say, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Every time I say, Ya Allah, I am affirming the fact that, Oh Allah, you are the forgiver. Ya Allah, you are the provider. Ya Allah, you are the protector. Ya Allah, everything is in your hands. Ya Allah, on whatever level, whatever concerns we have, Ya Allah, only you can solve them. How beautiful is that? We'll end up with this one incident. So what is desired, brothers, as an ambition and a goal in the life of every believer is that the connection has to be so strong that whenever the need, then my brothers, so much of faith and yaqeen we have in dua that
Who's going to do it?
We're going to engage the services of the heavens. I can't do it. You can do it. Altogether we cannot do it. Allah is going to do it. There's an incident mentioned about a person by the name of Abu Mu'aliq radiallahu anhu. He was a trader. So anyway, on one occasion, this narration, we may have heard it, but there's a variation in the wordings. So I'm just quoting down that I read from Hayatul Sahaba. So anyway, he was on one day on one of the roads, and there was a hijacker. So the guy approached him and told him, you know what, that give me your goods. So he said, have it. So he said, no, it's not just the goods that I want. I want the goods and your life. So he said, okay, but you know what? Okay, have the goods, but spare my life. What's the benefit in you taking my life also? So he says, no, it's your life that I'll have. So he says, okay, hold on. The narration mentions that this Sahabi was a person, he was muta'abdan wari'an. He was an ardent worshipper and he was a person who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, give me permission to 2 rakats of salah. So he started 2 rakats of salah. As he was in this 2 rakats of salah, the thug just collapses. So when he looks up, he sees there's an angel there. Powerful angel holding a spear in his hand. And he thrust it into the chest of his thug. So he asks him that, who are you? So he says that, I am an angel from the 4th heaven. When you turn to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commissioned me. He made dua in certain words, which is quite lengthy now for us to go into those words in the translation. And he said that any person who is hard-pressed, any person in any situation and condition, that if he will turn to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist him. So brothers, now, mashallah, we have about 2 weeks. And then inshallah, we're going into high season. Let's take out quality time, both every salah, before and after, to make dua, to talk to Allah. Sometimes, yes, we meet and greet and so on. But my brothers, remember that the primary purpose for which we come to the masjid is to worship Allah. Now and then, yes, some socializing, talking, and so on, that's there. But the primary goal, my brothers, is for us to connect with Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with this special connection, an intimate connection with you, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers all our du'as. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.